there you are, there you are. Sorry about that. About a half an hour ago, I began this nonsense and I was cut off because the internet dropped out. And I understand, again, my provider is working in the area, but it's only for a short while and it won't affect the radio show later on. But it did momentarily affect us this morning. Sorry about that. I was about to engage in a bit of a long-winded rant against the UK media, which I think I began by saying is is engaging as we speak in a concerted collaborative effort to convince the people of this country that the time is right for the military of this country to take action against Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria. It is despicable what's happening this morning. It is utterly despicable. People like Tobias Elwood, a warmongering wanker of a Tory, and others being dragged onto Sky News and the BBC to demand that we accept that the United Nations is defunct and that NATO has a responsibility to Turkey and to get involved in Idlib to protect the innocent people there from Russian and Syrian forces. We have to act. Alex Crawford, a Sky News reporter, has been in Idlib, has been in Damascus, and is reporting from the region, showing videos of babies in incubators who won't survive the freezing winter. Talking to people about how they're being starved, how hospitals are being bombed by the Assad regime. 90 hospitals were bombed, according to Sky News this morning. Evidence? Not a fucking shred of it, of course. Tug on the heartstrings. Appeal to people. Won't somebody please think of the children is the mantra on Sky, BBC, television and radio this morning. It's got to be done now. We can't talk anymore. We've got to deal with the Assad regime. Collective, concerted, collaborative effort by the media, the whoring fucking media, all of them. The Telegraph newspaper, Sky, the BBC. The very same fuckers who told you the same lies back in 2002 and 2003 that Saddam Hussein is killing his own people. We've got to stop it. We have a duty. What if it was our people? That's what you're getting today. Across the media. I'm going to fuck the newspaper review this morning. There's no point in showing you the front pages, is there, of the papers? There's not a lot really going on that you haven't heard 1,000 times in the last couple of days. About the weather, which is going to be abysmal again today. The flooding in Yorkshire and Wales and other parts of the country. The death of Caroline Flack. Priti Patel's plans for immigration. These are the stories doing the rounds of the media this morning. There's the I paper. Immigration backlash over British carers. Will we do one or two front pages, will we, in the time we have together? Because I'm going to have to keep this short now. I've got quite a bit of work to do for the radio show. Not just for today's radio show, but for every other bloody day's radio show. This is, of course, you heard this on the show, on the radio show yesterday. These are plans to make it difficult for low-skilled migrants to come to the UK. And one of the things that was proposed, was that we could train up British men and women to work in care effectively. And the cultural Marxists on the phony left have been saying this is xenophobic, this is creating a hostile environment, and they're flat outright denying the possibility that English people, British people, people born and bred here regardless of their colour, people born and bred here, they are denouncing the idea on the phony left that British people could be trained up properly to look after the elderly and the sick and the convalescing. People who've come out of hospital, senior citizens come out of hospital, they need somebody to pop around every afternoon or every morning to make sure they're okay, to put the fire on for them, make sure they're warm, make sure they have enough shopping, make sure they get brought out to spend some time in the fresh air, to talk to them, to befriend them. The idea that you can't recruit from the indigenous population is fucking laughable to me. It's excruciatingly annoying, this. But that's where, and I've no time for Priti Patel. She should be hanging by her fucking ankles in the Tower of London. I've said this 1,000 times. Another traitor. The woman who, when she was International Development Secretary, took her holiday in Israel and neglected to tell Theresa May or Boris Johnson, who was the Foreign Secretary then, met with Israeli government officials. That's treason! So don't sit there thinking I've got any truck with any of these people. I certainly do not. But the idea that you have to inflict on senior citizens who've paid national insurance all their lives and paid their taxes, that you have to inflict upon them some man or woman who's come into the UK in the last couple of years, I don't care from where, who's got fuck all in common with the senior citizen, who speaks in a heavy accent, whose English isn't marvellous, and who ultimately couldn't really give a fuck about the old person, who's just a means to an end. It's madness to me. Madness. Unchallenged in the UK media. You won't hear Jeremy Vine on Radio 2 today speaking as I speak and speaking with an air of incredulity. What do you mean we can't get people from this country to look after our senior citizens? Why can't we train them properly? Why can't we pay them properly? Why can't we show that this is a career of great respect and importance? Jean Anne Crowley said to me last night, familiarity breeds content. That's what I was trying to get at last night when I talked about this. Unbelievable. It's in every paper today, I think. 8 million Brits can fill low-skill jobs gap. Yes, they fucking can. But he should be paid properly. A living wage. Of course. They should be paid. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're doing. Because if you're working for somebody else, I don't care if you're fucking power hosing chewing gum off the fucking pavement. If you're doing it for somebody else, chances are that person is extremely wealthy. So they can afford to pay you £500 a week. So that you can afford to pay your fucking rent, heat your house, feed your children, and maybe get a night out once a week. That's all most people want, isn't it? It's all I fucking want. I'm prepared to work hard every day of the week. What do I want for it? I want a roof over my head. I don't want to have to go to a fucking food bank. And I want to get a night out every now and then. That's all most people want. That's the limit of most people's ambitions. I don't want to be waking up in the middle of the night in a cold fucking sweat. Because I can't make a bill. Pay people properly. Got fuck all to do with xenophobia or racism. Don't let people come into the country with no skills to compete for low-skilled jobs with the indigenous population. Fuck them. Look after your own. Pay them properly. And they'll spend that money back into the economy. I said it yesterday. That's Commerce 101. It's basic fucking knowledge, that. There speaks the former trade unionist. I'll be a trade unionist to the day I die. Pay people properly. You're working for somebody, chances are they're doing very fucking well. Thank you very much. Right? Pay people properly. I've had occasion over the years to pay people to do things for me. I've paid them properly. I've paid them what I would expect to be paid myself. Not fucking hard. What do you get from people when you pay them properly and look after them? What do you get? You get loyalty. You get hard work. You get commitment. You get reliability is what you get. Anyway. But there are reasons for this that we don't have time to get into here. You know the reasons. I know the reasons why the doors were opened up to every country in Europe. And who stands to benefit from that? We know. No point in dwelling on it. Negative story in the Times about Patel. Allegedly, she's a bully. She's a lot worse than a fucking bully, Priti Patel. Let's be honest about it. But anyway. The Mirror. Quickly, The Mirror. Heroes and a zero. Don't know what that's about. Picture there of a man wading into... I know what the picture is about. The floods. They call him Johnson a zero because he won't go and visit any of these areas. Johnson is disgraceful. I mean, you don't get any lower than a man who will burn banknotes in front of homeless people for shits and giggles. Bullingdon Boys Club or Bullingdon Club member Boris Johnson. Absolutely fucking... I mean, I'm not going to start ranting about that. Vile. But at the end of the day, whatever Johnson is, and he's wretched, what's the fucking point in Johnson rocking up to South Wales or to Yorkshire? What's the point in it? Even if he wasn't an arsehole, what's he going to do? He's going to show up there and he's going to be abused and he's going to be shouted at. And he's going to arrange for him to get a big yard brush and do a bit of sweeping or do a bit of mopping. He'll take a couple of pictures and then he'll fuck off back down to London. What difference does it make whether he shows up or not? It's ridiculous. The Guardian. 1 in 10 new homes on land at high risk of floods. Yeah, that was... heard that yesterday too. Tarby, I've got cancer. Jimmy Tarbuck is a Liverpudlian legend. Television personality, stand-up comic. And he announced yesterday he's dealing with prostate cancer, I believe. Maybe it's bowel cancer, right? Very well-known entertainer. Good luck to him. The Daily Mail, house prices surging all over Britain. A bounce, allegedly, from the landslide-ish victory of the Conservative Party in the recent general election, allegedly. House prices rising by an average of £5,000, apparently. Ofsted fears schools will squander extra cash. Telegraph, The Express. Battle for new wonder drug to save lives. I haven't read that, so I don't know what that is. Express.co.uk if you want to find out. Financial Times, EU aims to loosen big tech's grip by forcing groups to share data. That is interesting. Must have a read of that later on. Okay. Yes. So if you're just joining me, I was online at 9:30 as usual, but I dropped out because my provider is fucking around in the area and is doing that fairly regularly lately. And there are periods where we drop out. It hasn't happened in the radio show, which is good. They tend to do their work in the morning, in the mid-morning. And I can't really do anything about that. I can, if I want, attempt to stream to that. But if I stream to that, I can't use images. I can't use videos. It'll just be my big, baldy, ignorant gammon head. And no supporting media. We can't have that. We can't have that. So, what else is there? 17 minutes past 10. Am I off again, am I? No? See, I keep getting... And what's happening is the voices seem to be dropping out on me as well. Am I off again? Or am I on again? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Seems like I'm on. We had a healthy... audience, didn't we, at 9:30. I suppose many of them just pissed off thinking I wouldn't be back. That's fair enough. I might have pissed off myself. Let's see. So the Telegraph then. This is very important. The use of language and repetitious language and phrases and slogans are very important for the elite, for the hidden hand. This is today's Telegraph editorial. Forces loyal to Syrian dictator al-Assad have continued their assault on one of the last pockets of resistance to his brutal rule. The province of Idlib has for years held out as the regime has taken or retaken territory elsewhere. In the process, Idlib has become home to millions of refugees. Now they are caught in the middle of what some are calling the final battle of the Syrian civil war. There isn't a civil war in Syria. This is one of the greatest lies to be told and repeated by the mainstream media since Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. And he could use those weapons to launch an attack against the UK in only 15 minutes. There's no civil war in Syria. Is there? Has there been opposition to the autocratic system of governance in Syria? Yes. Oh yeah. I'm sure if I'd gone to Syria in 2007, 2008, when the United Nations was hailing Bashar al-Assad as a great man who was reaching his millennial goals, they said, moving towards a post-autocratic Syria, moving to a place, to a time when Syria would be governed differently, when its system of governance would change. Assad, of course, was the reluctant president. His father died. His brother was due to take over. He was next in command. He was killed in a car crash. Bashar al-Assad was living in London, where he was with his wife, Asma, I believe her name is. He's an ophthalmologist by trade. He's an eye doctor. And he came back to Syria. And didn't have any intention of seeing out the rest of his days as the leader of that country. He didn't. And this was well known in the West. It wasn't only well known, it was accepted. Yes, Bashar, he's in. He's changing the country. Moving in a different direction. Make it more open. Give people more of a choice. And then the country was beset by mercenaries. We've seen them in Libya, we've seen them in Afghanistan, we've seen them in Africa. Given a name, they were originally called moderate rebels and were supported to the hilt by the governments of the UK, France, the United States, Saudi Arabia and Israel, given material support, unquantifiable amounts of money and weaponry to go and wreck Syria, sack it, bring it to its fucking knees, turn it into a lunatic asylum. While they were doing this, the whoring Western media went along with the ruse that these were moderate rebels, killing people moderately. Yes, when I machine gun people to death and chop their heads off and set fire to them in cages, I do so moderately. One of the greatest lies in modern times. Moderate rebels who wanted to do away with the dictatorship of the Assad family needed to be supported by the West, when in reality they were the same lunatic fucking head-chopping madmen that had been set to burn, as I said, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Africa and elsewhere. And of course Libya. Libya, when Obama and Sarkozy and David fucking pig fucker Cameron decided to wreck Libya, they used the same nutcases. No such thing It's a moderate rebel. Syria was doing fine. Of course there were people who wanted things to change quicker in Syria. Of course there were people with long memories who remembered Assad's father. Wanted him gone. Didn't want Assad to take up the mantle. Didn't want Assad to transition Syria. Of course they didn't like him. But they weren't taking up arms against him. They weren't mobilizing against him. There were no moderate rebels.